afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday, October 13th, 2021. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Global Patriot Radio, 7 shows, 7 days, numerous hosts, starting Mondays, the Vito Esposito Show, featuring Big Al, every Monday at 6 o'clock, Mamma Mia, No Sharia. Tuesdays, Eric with the Cross and the Crescent, that's also at 6 o'clock. Wednesdays, of course, Hank Jones here with Hank Jones Poly Sports. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. And Fridays, Conservative Casual Friday with Andrew Herod. Then Saturday nights at 10 o'clock, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie with Revealing the Truth About Islam. And if you choose not to listen, then you can reveal the ugliness of the Pac-12. And then Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue every Sunday, 3 o'clock. You got to download the app for that, folks. Hey, if you want to interact with the show, several ways. You can email me, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Hank Jones Poly Sports. Just put it in your search bar. Or on Twitter, @HPolySports. Now, the best way, of course, if you're not listening in the chat room, is to listen via phone, 319-527-6706. You can listen that way, and then you can also, if you really have something to say, you can hit the 1. We'll take your call, and we'll take almost anyone's call if you've listened before, and you'll know that. My wife and our little Aussie are also in the house. Did our anniversary trip last week, did a little camping. Our little Aussie was the star of the show, jumping over creeks and whatnot. She's all protective. Like, when I go into, like, a danger area, she sort of looks. When my wife gets anywhere near something that could be treacherous, our little Aussie just, and she's all over it. Awesome dog, I got to say. Awesome dog. Prayers, of course, for Sue from New Mexico and for Annie with Southern Sense, G-Ski, the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show, others that you know that need prayer. Please lift them all up in prayer. Some recent obituaries. Ken, long-distance runner, Agnes Tarop, was found stabbed to death in her home today. She was just 25. No other info is released, but she was a multi-medalist in cross-country and in the 5,000 meters for her country. Other than Zola Budd from Great Britain, she was the youngest cross-country winner ever. Terrible. Sad. Startling, really. I mean, just awful. Last Sunday, American animator Ruthie Thompson passed away. She was 111. She worked on, among other films, Pinocchio, Fantasia, and Dumbo. And given her age, I'm going to assume it was the original releases, that she wasn't, like, working on the CGI versions of these films. Monday, we lost Patty Maloney. Patty Maloney, age 83, of the Chieftains, Irish music band. They hit it big when they did the soundtrack to the Oscar-winning soundtrack to the film Barry Lyndon. That was a film from Stanley Kubrick in 1975. And then this isn't a death, but it's another milestone. William Shatner has become the oldest person in space at age 90. He's a rocket man. Remember he did that, I guess you'd call it an album. I think it was spoken word, but I think it was supposed to be called vocals. And he did Rocket Man. I'm a rocket man, burning off my fuel out here alone. Yeah, I mean, to give you an idea, Joe Pesci's album was better. Hawkeye Mike might appreciate this. Joe Pesci did an album. It was called, I believe, it might have been renamed this. It was called Hey, This Kid Can Sing. And it's got him singing like a, got to get you into my life. I think he starts out, I was alone. I took a ride. I didn't know where the hell to find it. But no, I don't think he sang it like that. I actually Googled it one time. I Googled both separately. I didn't compare them or anything. But yeah, Shatner put out a spoken word vocal album, and Joe Pesci actually, I think he did multiple, but the one was called Hey, This Kid Can Sing, and he was better than Shatner, trust me. So, to the news, 18 former NBA players have been charged in a fraud scheme that fraudulently scammed the NBA health and welfare benefits plan out of $4 million. Now, the scheme was evidently, it was masterminded by former shooting guard Terrence Williams. and involved players that he recruited. Williams himself, I guess, got like up to $230,000 in kickbacks. And anyway, what they would do is file fraudulent claims for medical and dental care that they never received. Here is the story as reported on the American Update website real quick, because it's a real quick story, and it's kind of makes you wonder. It says Manhattan federal prosecutors announced that 18 veteran NBA players were indicted on charges of defrauding the league's health care plan out of millions of dollars on Thursday. The former ballers schemed $4 million from the NBA's health and welfare benefit plan by submitting, quote, false and fraudulent claims for reimbursement of expenses for medical and dental services that were not actually rendered, court documents allege. In a racket that was purportedly masterminded by former shooting guard Terrence Williams, who began his professional career with the New Jersey Nets in 2009, before being traded twice and ultimately waived from the Boston Celtics in 2013, then faded into obscurity in foreign leagues before hanging it up in 2015. Anyway, he recruited former players. He launched it in 2017 when he submitted $19,000 in phony chiropractor bills and received a $7,672 payout. He then went on to, as it said, to recruit former players who, like himself, never achieved NBA superstardom or the multi-million dollar contracts that come from being a standout. Hawkeye Mike had to remind me that Shatner also did a version of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. We will never play it on this show, I promise. Other players, Anthony Roten, Ruben Patterson, Darius Miles, as well as former NBA champion Shannon Brown, Melvin Ealy, Tony Allen, ex-Boston Celtics power forward Ronald Glenn Davis, and for former Chicago Bull Gregory Smith came under scrutiny from the benefit plan when claims they submitted from the same Beverly Hills dental office were supposedly to have occurred while they were both out of the country in Paris and Taiwan, respectively. The fraudulent documents also raised red flags when Williams' work became noticeably sloppy. Court filing states, quote, "The letters are unusual in several respects. They are not on letterhead, contain unusual formatting, have grammatical errors, and one of the letters misspells a purported patient's name." Yeah, throughout the three-year scam, the benefit plan received $3.9 million in fake claims and paid out ex-players around $2.5 million in fraudulent gains. As of Thursday last, 16 of the former pro ballers were in federal custody. Yeah, how does that happen? Really, how does that happen? How do you... I mean, I know there's insurance fraud and all that, and I don't know, just weird. Turns out blood thinners reduce the need for organ support in moderate COVID-19 cases. The study was done by a cooperation of several groups, indicated that several types of cases did not benefit. In the study, patients with both moderate and severe cases were given various doses of heparin, which is anticoagulant. It included 1,098 critically ill and 2,219 moderately ill patients. For both sets of patients, the researchers looked at how long they were free of organ support, you know, things like ventilators. They looked at that up to 21 days after enrollment, and one conclusion was that patients on full-dose heparin were 99% more likely not to need organ support than those given low-dose heparin. For those critically ill, full-dose heparin may not have resulted in less need for organ support, but it did show that there were less incidences of blood clots throughout the body, which is another problem with COVID. Blood clots both in the lungs and throughout the body. Now, remember people talking about ivermectin and all that? Well, another thing that people talked about initially was aspirin. One thing they said was don't take Advil for like symptoms, fever, etc. Take acetaminophen or aspirin. People jumped all over it, said aspirin, no, that's the worst thing you could do. Well, part of that was a response to, remember Reye's syndrome back in the 1970s where kids would who took aspirin during certain types of flu outbreaks would get sick and die. I knew a kid that had it. He did not die, but he did have it, and he was in the hospital for a while. Well, not the same thing, because Reye syndrome wasn't that type of – it was a abdominal intestinal thing, if I remember correctly. But people were screaming, no, aspirin, no, all this. You know, ivermectin they found. Japan and – where else? Japan, I think Spain. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine both have had great success. Aspirin in other places has had success. But we keep hearing no. No. It's all scam. It's all – because President Trump, that's what he did, was chloroquine and I don't know about ivermectin, but hydroxychloroquine. Turns out many in Congress, for both themselves and their staffs, have been using that treatment. Yeah. Meanwhile, Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly says employees will not be fired for refusing the vax mandate. Last weekend, over 2,000 Southwest flights were delayed or canceled, but Kelly said it was not the result of protests over mandated vaccines that took place over Columbus Day weekend. By the way, while we were celebrating Columbus Day Monday, our neighbors in Canada were celebrating their Thanksgiving Day. True, every time we celebrate Columbus Day, that's their Thanksgiving Day, second Monday in October. They even do turkey a little bit. Anyway, despite the fact the company released a statement on October 4th that all employees had to be vaxxed by November 24th or face termination, Kelly and the company have reversed their field, apparently. Kelly says this is not a company mandate anyway, but a government mandate. He notes, though, that Southwest is a government contractor, thus they must comply with the mandate. Kelly also says that while they encourage employees to get vaccinated, they are also trying to find workable solutions for those who don't get the jab. Meanwhile, also, a judge has ordered United Airlines not to put those seeking exceptions or exemptions on leave. Loudoun County, Virginia. That school system's got a bit of a problem. Remember, we talked a few months ago about the wrongful termination of employee for speaking out about vax mandate, masking and in-person classrooms. Now it appears they may have covered up a sexual assault of a ninth grade girl in a gender-neutral bathroom by a boy wearing a skirt. The offender, who is classified as a transgender boy, was charged with two counts of forcible sodomy, one count of anal sodomy, and one count of forcible fellatio. But in terms of how things look for the school, it gets worse. The incident, which occurred back in May, was followed up by Smith protesting at a board meeting on June 22nd. At that meeting, the board had said Smith and others, they had Smith arrested by law enforcement after it deemed the meeting unlawful assembly, as Smith and other parents were attempting to speak out on the school system's transgender policies. The bigger problem, the superintendent of the system told the parents that any comment or complaint on the school's transgender policies was unwarranted because the system had no record of any assaults ever taking place. The attorney for the victim's family was also led to believe by prosecutors that the suspect was on house arrest and would be convicted in a court appearance on October 14th. So, what ended up happening? The same suspect is now under arrest for sexual assault and battery for an incident that happened October 6th in a classroom at the school. In other words, between prosecutors and the school system, there was knowledge of the attack back in May. Remember, prosecutors told the victim's family attorney about the upcoming court appearance and the expected conviction. So between that appearance or occurrence in May and October, the court appearance, that student was allowed back in the school after the school board had the initial victim's father arrested for speaking out on something which the school system superintendent said hadn't happened, according to their record. By the way, one of the protest signs that was shown at that board meeting, they summed it up perfectly. He said, girls' rights or boys' feelings? Pick one. I'm not sure it's as simple as that. Then again, how is it not that simple? I mean, you can say, you know, it can be about both, and that's fine. But if boys' feelings are trumping the safety of girls, not just girls, because this isn't just girls' rights. This is their safety. If trans feelings or any feelings at that point trump the rights and the safety of a ninth grade girl, I'm not sure where the hell we are. Okay, here's an article from the Federalist website. The article is titled, 2020 election wasn't stolen, it was bought by Mark Zuckerberg. And only reading the article as William Doyle, as written by William Doyle, will do it the justice it really deserves. I would say, you know, highlight it, but this thing's just too good. It's just too damn good. Okay, by William Doyle. It was published yesterday. During the 2020 elections, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg spent hundreds of millions of dollars to turn out likely Democrat voters. But this wasn't traditional political spending. He funded a targeted private takeover of government election operations by nominally nonpartisan but demonstrably ideological nonprofit organizations. Analysis conducted by our team demonstrates this money significantly increased Joe Biden's vote margin in key swing states. This unprecedented merger of public election offices with private resources and personnel is an acute threat to our republic and should be the focus of electoral reform efforts moving forward. The 2020 election wasn't stolen. It was likely bought by one of the world's wealthiest and most powerful men pouring his money through legal loopholes. The first section talks about partisans running local election offices. The Center for Technology and Civic Life and the Center for Election Innovation and Research passed a staggering $419.5 million of Zuckerberg's money into local government elections offices, and it came with strings attached. Every grant to each of them spelled out in great detail the conditions under which the grant money was to be used. Now, this is not a matter of Democrats outspending Republicans. Private funding of election administration was virtually unknown in the American political system before the 2020 election. Big CTCL and CEIR money had nothing to do with traditional campaign finance, lobbying, or other expenses that are related to increasingly expensive modern elections. It had to do with financing the infiltration of election offices at the city and county level by left-wing activists and using those offices as a platform to implement preferred administrative practices, voting methods, and data sharing agreements, as well as to launch intensive outreach campaigns in areas heavy with Democrat voters. For instance, CTCL and CEIR funded self-described vote navigators in Wisconsin to, quote, assist voters potentially at their front doors, to answer questions, assist in ballot curing, and witness absentee ballot signatures, end quote. And a temporary staffing agency affiliated with Stacey Abrams called Happy Faces, counting the votes amidst the election night chaos in Fulton County, Georgia. CTCL demanded the promotion of universal mail-in voting through suspending election laws, extending deadlines that favored mail-in over in-person voting, greatly expanding opportunities for ballot curing, expensive bulk mailings, and other lavish, quote, community outreach, unquote, programs that were directed by private activists. CTCL drove the proliferation of unmonitored private drop boxes, which created major chain of custody issues, and opportunities for novel forms of mail-in ballot electioneering, allowed for the submission of numerous questionable post-election day ballots, and created opportunities for illegal ballot harvesting. CTCL greatly increased funding for temporary staffing and poll workers, supported the infiltration of election offices by paid Democratic Party activists, coordinated through a complex web of left-leaning nonprofit organizations, social media platforms, and social media election influencers. Next section, staggering partisan spending. The amount of additional money these groups poured into election offices in Democrat voting areas was truly staggering. To put in perspective, federal and state matching funds for COVID-19 related election expenses in 2020 totaled $479.5 million. The CTCL and CEIR money totaled $419.5 million. These two private nonprofits were responsible for an 85% increase in total additional election funding, and that largesse was concentrated in a relatively small number of heavily Democratic municipalities. Although both CTCL and CEIR are chartered as nonpartisan 501c3 corporations, our research suggests the $419.5 million of spending that took place in 2020 was highly partisan in its distribution and its effects. Of the 26 grants CTCL provided to cities and counties in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Virginia that were $1 million or larger, 25 went to areas Biden won in 2020. So 26 grants, 25 to areas that Biden won. Only county on the list won by Donald Trump, which was Brown County in Wisconsin, received about $1.1 million, less than 1.3% of the $85.5 million that CTCL provided to the top 26 recipients. But even in Brown County, Wisconsin, where heavily Democrat Green Bay is located, the funding disparities are glaring. The Wisconsin legislature provided roughly $7 per voter to the city of Green Bay to manage its 2020 elections. Rural counties in Wisconsin received approximately $4 per voter. The CTCL funds boosted Democrat voting Green Bay resources to $47 per voter, while most rural areas still had the same $4 per voter. Similar funding disparities occurred near Detroit, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Flint, Dallas, Houston, and other cities that received tens of million dollars of CTCL money. Preliminary analysis shows this partisan targeting was repeated in battleground states across the country. Okay, I'm going to cut it off there. Basically, what they're saying is this. Funding of elections has always been a government thing. Now, you know, you get that thing on your tax return. Do you want to give a dollar to the presidential election campaign fund? Yeah, my wife just said never. It's not a partisan thing. It doesn't go to anybody's part. It's for the Federal Election Commission. It's to conduct the presidential election campaign. Funding has always been a government function. It's not a private function for good reason. Private organizations aren't subject to rules for public employees, for instance, or public institutions. They're not required to hold public hearings. Can't be monitored via open records laws, etc. Basically, what they did was they created a shadow election system with a built-in structural advantage. They basically, in a sense, think of it this way. Think if they just basically put the Democrat Party in charge of elections, but not subject to election law, certain election laws. No transparency. You couldn't file an open records request to find out that 123 Incorporated, how they were spending their money. It's unbelievable. And while, you know, we talk about ballot stuffing and all that, it also provided, you know, one of the big problems, it wasn't just, you know, sending ballots through twice and that kind of thing. There were also situations where, as an example, in Philadelphia, as I recall, there were around the city, there were, I think it was either 20 or 200, quote, ballot boxes. Now, they were out 24 hours a day. They weren't monitored. We already know about that. But they also, where they put them, where they centered them, was in Democrat, predominantly Democrat areas. The other thing they did, they used, I mean, the various algorithms they used. Suffice it to say, let's get off this. Suffice it to say, yeah, the fraud was there. But it wasn't just Democrat election supervisors or, you know, people. It was people double counting ballots. But how it was done, it was, you know, how they got people to do it. They paid for private people to do it, to become volunteers. Now they did that. They tied their grant money to it. These people must be the, you know, it must come from these communities. It's unbelievable. It really is. From the Epic Times, I guess La Dopey Nostra has asked Walmart and UPS and FedEx to up their delivery services and frequencies. All three companies have said they will add staff and add hours and work to curtail the supply chain distributions that, by the way, according to the La Dopey Nostra, are the main contributor to the near runaway inflation we are seeing. Yeah, gas prices, grocery prices, including meat and produce, certain electronics, those are the most affected. In addition, following the lead of the Port of Long Beach several weeks ago, the Port of Los Angeles will extend to 24/7 service. Amazingly, the International Longshore and Warehouse Union has decided it will help out with, quote, doubling the hours that cargo will be able to move out of its docks and onto the highways and byways. By the way, anyone think there might be something sinister to this? Okay, so for statistical purposes only, FedEx and UPS combined shipped approximately 40% of all packages by volume in 2020. Anyone see two rather obvious omissions here? Vito, you're in the chat room. Pipe in. What do you think? No, you haven't heard the whole thing. Vito's in the chat room, by the way, folks. Got several callers on out there listening as well. Welcome. But, okay, so supply chain disruptions have been blamed on lack of personnel. There's cargo sitting offshore in Long Beach, Los Angeles, New York, Savannah, Georgia. Lower than expected Christmas sales could hurt a lot of this. Yeah, gee, no wonder that Fauci and La Dopey Nostra are suddenly pushing Halloween. Yeah, the other day Fauci said Halloween's not a problem. You can go trick-or-treating. And they're kind of saying, yeah, you can get together at Christmas. They're still holding off on Thanksgiving, though. Yeah, you don't need to tell me why. That's where people get together and talk is at Thanksgiving. They don't do it as much at Christmas. Thanksgiving is where the real action is, conversation-wise. That's why they're not talking about getting together Thanksgiving. But so anyway, Vito, two omissions from that list that they didn't talk about. By the way, are you shocked, anyone, that the unions are willing to work extra? By the way, unions which typically support Democrat president candidates. Okay, here's the two obvious omissions that maybe weren't so obvious. They're not asking Amazon their thing, and they're not mentioning the U.S. Postal Service. Yes, Postal Service has just said that they're actually going to have a slowdown, a slower time in delivery of mail. Well, Amazon kind of owns the postal system these days. They have used the postal system to great advantage. Postal system, remember, it shut Sunday delivery for eons. There was occasional collection at certain boxes and post offices, but there was no Sunday delivery for decades until Amazon came around. Suddenly, you see postal trucks out every damn Sunday. That is because of Amazon. So, yeah, no mention of Amazon. No mention of the Postal Service. Unbelievable how they leave those two out. But it's really about this. They're asking for this because economically the president's in trouble. I mean, every indicator on Democrats are dropping like flies in terms of reelection. More Democrats are dropping out, not running for reelection. 2022 at this point really does not look good for them. Anything that they can do to help, so to speak. So the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, yeah, that ain't Boys Town, trust me. So, yeah, they're trying to help out. Vito made a good point. Halloween, you wear a mask. Fauci's trying to sell masks. That's why he's good on Halloween. I didn't think about that. Good point. Okay, you know that cringe video from alleged Vice President Kamala the Cackler? Turns out it wasn't a bunch of wide-eyed, innocent kids all curious about science. Now, that video featured child actors, paid child actors, actors who have agents, actors who actually auditioned for the respective parts in the video. They had to do things like, what would you ask a public official? What would you ask a vice president? You know, I'm not even sure where to go with this one, so I won't. But I will say this. First of all, this lady's got some major serious issues. She is messed up. But remember, back in November, Hawkeye Mike mentioned that with her waiting in the wings, he would pray fervently for Dopey Joe's health and safety. I myself think I'm going to double down. I'm going to pray for her to get run out of office on a technicality. I mean, like any technicality, as in anything. I got a caller. I kind of recognize this number. I'm going to... Good evening. You are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports. Who is this? Oh, they don't want to talk. They must have hit one by accident and didn't know it. Oh, well. No. Kamala Harris is frightening. And you see this video. I don't want to. If you've seen this video where she's talking to these kids, it's really creepy. I mean, no, she's not sniffing. She's not a Dopey Joe. She's not sniffing around. She's just, it's so fake. It's so not genuine. It is so insincere. It's just, cringeworthy isn't even the word for it. It really isn't. But yet she's done this video with these kids. And it's supposed to be like innocent, you know, we're going to learn about science, kids. These are paid. I mean, they're getting paid child actors to do this promotional video with our vice president. Folks, that's creepy. That's just creepy. Okay, I was creeped as hell. Well, my wife and I, full disclosure, my wife and I used to watch the show The Biggest Loser. I watched it. I actually rooted for people on that show. I know. So you're thinking, Hank, you're too cool. You're almost as cool as Miles Davis. You wouldn't do that stuff. I did. I watched it. I enjoyed it. There was one season where Michelle Obama, they have these little snippets during the show, various weeks, of her working out with kids in the White House. It was creepy. It was uncomfortable to watch. I mean, you want to talk about insincere and phony and propped up. That was bad. This is worse. This is so much worse. It's really bad. I mean, Hawkeye Mike was right. Anything. We as bad as Dopey Joe is, we've got to hope that she's out before he is out. I mean, Okay, as most of you know by now, Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden resigned Monday evening amid the political fallout from emails that were discovered as part of the investigation by the NFL of the Washington football team. Now, this investigation was in response to complaints of sexual harassment and other abuses in that organization. Among the email topics in question, Gruden's denunciation of female referees, the drafting of a gay player, Michael Sam, by the LA Raiders. No, Vito, it was Michelle Obama that did the workout videos, and it was cringeworthy. It was difficult to watch. Compared to Kamala Harris, they were a joy. Okay, drafting of Michael Sam, the tolerance of players kneeling during the national anthem, along with comments calling NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell a faggot and a clueless anti-football pussy, and that Goodell put pressure on Rams head coach Jeff Fisher into drafting Michael Sam. In addition, these emails, which occurred back as far as 2011, when Gruden was an analyst with ESPN, but not with any team, they included derogatory remarks about then-President Barack Obama and then-Vice President Dopey Joe. There were also, now he didn't send these, he received these, but there were also topless photos exchanged of several Washington football team cheerleaders and personnel, which were exchanged amongst Gruden and then-President Bruce Allen of the Washington Redskins. Remember that? Before they were called the Washington football team, they were actually a team, the Washington Redskins. Other of Gruden's comments included slams of NFLPA Executive Director DeMaurice Smith and player Eric Reed. He said Reed should be fired. The comments regarding Smith included little racist tropes about his lack of intelligence, And again, the comments about Reed should be fired. Of note, now, while the exchanges did not include league owners or staff, they were sent or received from Gruden's personal email account. Bruce Allen used his team account, but that's irrelevant. Gruden used his personal email account. Now, there was a review of over 650,000 emails, which was instructed by Commissioner Roger Goodell, as part of the investigation into the allegations against the Washington football team. Goodell then released the emails to the Raiders organization. Now, current Raiders owner Mark Davis, son of original owner Al Davis, has made little comment other than to say that the Raiders have accepted Gruden's resignation. And thus, you have my rant for today. This was Gruden's personal email account. It had nothing to do with any of his coaching jobs, previous or current. He was not employed by an NFL team during this time. Number two, this happened back as far as 10 years ago. As I said, he was not employed by an NFL team at that point. He was employed by ESPN as an analyst. You want to hear what other ESPN analysts have said over the years? One of the things talked about was language. Anybody see who the NFL has hired for some of their halftime shows over the years? There's no evidence that Gruden had any interaction with staff, players, or employees of the Washington football team, let alone any other team, outside his work as an analyst for ESPN. Number four, isn't it ironic that Commissioner Roger Goodell, who is the target of some of these statements, would release the emails to the Raiders, who have no connection, ownership, or management-wise to the Washington football team? Does anyone find it amazing that while any targeting of Barack Obama or Dopey Joe always seems to become public, none of their emails become public? Or like Hunter's laptop, their statements disappear or are redacted? Look, while some of this is an outrage, it does teach the lesson that what you say on the internet, in public or private forums, such as an email or a private message, it's never private. It's never your own personal business. As Vito pointed out, Hillary Rotten Clinton used her personal email in a seditious manner, and yet her personal emails are off limits. Number seven, at what point does something done or said in the past get forgiven in the first place? And at what point is the standard equally applied or pursued? I mean, the thought police are alive and well when it's somebody that doesn't agree with them. When it's somebody that does, man, it doesn't apply. How is it that something not germane to the original investigation gets released anyway? Well, and when do we get to see Roger Goodell's emails? This was not germane to the original investigation. Had nothing to do with the Washington football team's, you know, work environment. Look, while some of what Gruden said was definitely rude and possibly disgusting, the fact remains he wasn't part of Washington football team or part of the investigation. How was what he said relevant? Tell you how. Three targets of his vitriol: Roger Goodell, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden. Look, the others that he insulted were convenience. They were just icing on the cake. Going after Goodell, Obama, and Biden sealed his fate. And now, again, it should be noted that Gruden resigned from the Raiders. He was not fired by them. But at some point, too, we have to understand that our privacy is an illusion, at least when it comes to digital privacy, and that should scare us. It really should. Next, you think you're small potatoes. You may not be worth their trouble, but guess what? As we are seeing more and more, any resistance to or disapproval of Big Left makes you a target. The guy in the Marines was locked up because he happened to speak out against the Afghan withdrawal policy. He's locked up for it. Don't think for a second that you're not a target. I'll close with this. A movie that I played the music to on occasion Once Upon a Time in America. There's a scene. There's a Jewish gang. It's James Woods, Robert De Niro, Patrick Rapp. James Hayden and William Forsythe. These four guys. And they are asked, they go into a meeting. De Niro gives, his character gets out of prison. He was goes away as a youth for stabbing a guy, killing a guy and stabbing a cop. So he gets out. They take him in there. It's during Prohibition. He meets this Detroit Mafia bigwig played by Joe Pesci. And Burt Young is there. He's another fellow bigwig. And so De Niro's character, basically they say, you know, it's Joe's from Detroit. I don't have to tell you how big he is or how far he's gotten or how far he's going to get. And he just needs his favor. He's out of Detroit, and they start talking. It's kid stuff. And Robert De Niro says, if it's kid stuff, why don't you have the kids from Detroit do it? And they sort of talk him down. So they do this diamond heist, and then they meet with Burt Young's character. His name is Joe. They meet with Joe, and then unbeknownst to De Niro, it's a hit. They put a hit on him. The other three, they basically shoot the guy, kill him, and then shoot up the other guys. It involves a chase, De Niro having to chase a guy who had gotten away, chases him into a chicken processing plant, turns on the feather defeathering machine to get the guy freaked out. Guy comes out, De Niro shoots him. So they're in the car afterwards. De Niro didn't know about it. James Woods is explaining that it was a favor for Frankie Minaldi, Joe Pesci's character. Frankie Minaldi's as big as they come, and it's going to mean big things. And De Niro has the perfect response. He says, today, they ask us to get rid of Joe. Next, they'll tell me to get rid of you. Is that okay with you? Because it's not okay with me. Part of the issue now. Today, they go after the unvaccinated. Tomorrow, they go after the unboostered. Then they go after those who don't push for mandatory vaccination. Today, they go after the overt racist or the overt misogynist or the overt chauvinist pig. Tomorrow, they'll go after the guy who just stinks about it, or who just got in an innocent email exchange about it. After that, they'll go after people who weren't even part of the problem in the first place. They'll just start reading emails wherever. Is that okay with you? Because it's not okay with me. But that's what we're up against. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Speaking of Once Upon a Time in America, we're going to listen to that for about 2 minutes. We're going to come back. The crew is going to join us. Indy Hawk is out again this week, so I get to pick for him. The crew's going to join us with some football thoughts and picks. It's our college football forum. Love it because it's here and it's great. Be back in 2 minutes, 13 seconds.
This is TJ, dedicating the song to Let Belly.
Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She from Birmingham, Bama Lamb. Way down in Alabama, Bama Lamb. The way she shake that thing, Bama Lamb. Boy, she make me sing, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She really get me high, Bama Lamb. You know that's no lie. Bama Lamb, she's so rock steady. Bama Lamb, but she's always ready. Bama Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. 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 Bama Lamb.
Brother Tommy in first. You got your music in there, Brother Tommy in first. Coming in next.
Yeah,
Hawkeye Mike.
What did we do? I had to take a break for like 10, 15 minutes. And then I go back on, put my headphones on, and I heard my music. What happened?
Yeah. I was on listening to the stuff, and then I thought, let's get your music going. Mike, how you doing?
Ooh, thank you.
Doing great, Hank. How's it going?
Good. And I'm going to bring in T. Bodie. T. Bodie, how's it going,
in
man?
The house.
He's got last week's games. Vito was 7-6. Indy Hawk was 9-4. Brother Tommy was 76. Hawkeye Mike was 7-6, and T Bodie was 8-5. Not bad. Not bad.
Then real quick, and then I will shut the fuck up.
Okay.
You guys don't do what I do. Two huge upsets a week. So if you
no,
factor
I did,
that,
I did
in other
it.
Words,
I
you guys
same
don't
record
fucking
you do.
Couldn't gamble with me for a minute.
Tom, I had the same record you did because I took a couple gambles.
All right, maybe, all right, that's Hawkeye Mike. Maybe Hawkeye Mike does. Yes, all right, I'll give him that.
Oh, okay, well,
and,
okay, this is not about playing.
All right,
I'm
sorry, Hank.
Rutgers.
Yeah, yeah.
Who picked Rutgers?
I did. So did Tom.
Rutgers,
okay.
You're kidding, really?
Well, the game was in Piscataway.
Yeah, but they
here's
that
the thing.
By
here's
Ohio
the thing,
State.
And Vito. Hey, Vito's on this call, and here's the thing. He was the only one that went against Iowa last week.
Vito picked right. Penn State.
I'm not in the room today,
Vito
but
wasn't
what do you have to say
last week?
Here,
what are you
Vito?
Talking about?
No, Vito.
What
Vito
are you
was
talking about?
Vito ran the call last week because I was out. So Vito ran the call, and Vito picked Penn State. He's in the chat room. He's in the chat room.
I know.
I can't remember.
I can't get on my computer.
He might have. I can't remember now.
I don't think that's accurate.
I've got
I don't
the picture
know.
Right here.
He's not viewing it in the chat room.
What Vito did do, Hank, and I know it's like, Brother Tommy, stop trying to monopolize, and I almost am done. Vito fucking two times ago when he substituted for you, he gave me this notion, and I know college sports pretty well, but he tells me Jimbo Fisher might be somewhat of a fraud in the sense of the great coach we thought he was. And I'm like, I think you're kind of full of shit. He got a national championship, but then when I think about it and whatnot, or I've thought about it since, Vito had a fucking very poignant point.
Yeah, he was.
And I guess it's probably been said before, but I just never thought of it.
Vito did pick. He admits that he picked Penn State. Wow, wow.
You know, you have
good
to
fuck
say
him, but
thing.
You know what?
It
he plays my intro music all the time, so I'll give him
okay.
props anyway.
Get,
yeah, but, you know, in all fairness, it was a wild week of football Saturday. I mean,
yeah.
I never saw anything like that. You know,
so
that
that's why I'm gonna say, Mike, give me two big surprises from over the weekend.
Well, you might disagree on how big. First of all, I really thought Texas was going to win. And if you talk to me at halftime, they were cruising, but look what happened. You know, so that was just a wild game. I think I picked Nebraska, if I recall, and that was another upset.
I did too.
And you know, I think that was a good pick. You know, just the, you know, the they really, you know, if Martinez doesn't fumble there at the end, they would have won the game. So they just find a way to lose. And I guess I'm going to have to factor that in now whenever Nebraska's playing somebody. But I think I picked, there was an upset with BYU losing. I can't remember now who they played, but I'm sure
Boise
I know it's
State.
BYU.
Boise State. No one got that one right.
I know.
So, T-Bodie, what did you see as two big surprises over the weekend?
Real quick, since I called out Vito on the Iowa pick, I also need to give him props for picking. He was the only one that took Mississippi over Arkansas.
Okay.
Right, and I took Arkansas because, I'm starting to lose faith in them too. But, talk about a wild game there. You know, it's a basketball game.
Vito's saying that he ended up picking Bama to lose at 4:30 on Saturday while he was tailgating. So,
yeah, sure.
Vito's
okay. What were your surprises?
So another observation is Notre Dame. Tom Jones took Notre Dame to win by 3 touchdowns. They did win by 3 points, but him and Indiana
right.
Notre
and,
Dame.
I want Tom to note, I picked Virginia Tech, so I did go out on a limb there, and Notre Dame walked out again, but I really thought Virginia Tech was going to pull the upset.
No, okay. I'm not taking this. Sounds like I'm taking shit away from you guys' credos. I'm not. You guys have been doing good. I'm just saying I pick a lot of upsets intentionally to make the show more interesting. That's
no,
the only point.
In other words, I'm never
going to admit you guys are smarter than me when it comes to gambling. That's my only point.
No, I always want to pick some upsets because it's if you just play it safe all the time, that's no fun. And there's always going to be upsets anyway. You just got to figure out who it is.
Nobody. You can't tell me anybody saw A&M beating Bama.
No.
Money line.
I didn't see that.
No fun.
There was no reason to think A&M was going to do a damn thing because look at the last few weeks. The bad loss to Arkansas, and then they followed it up with another loss. I didn't see it coming. I don't think anybody did.
I'll tell you a couple shocks. Kentucky beat the crap out of LSU by 21 points. I got to believe Ed Orgeron's on his way out. But then here's the big shock to me. It wasn't that Arkansas lost. It's that, they used to talk about you go for the win on the road, you go for the tie at home. That was before they had overtime. Now all they had to do was kick an extra point and get to overtime. They went for two. They scored with 1 second left, and they went for two. What the hell were they thinking?
Win the game, baby.
Yeah, but when you can play.
Well, the thing you're missing is you mentioned. Oh, I'm sorry, someone else had the floor. My bad.
But what do you mean by the bad, T-Bodie? What do you mean win the game? You can play in overtime.
One play, go out and do it. He thought his guys were running out of gas. They got lucky to get that last touchdown. Figured they couldn't hold up in overtime.
There is actually arithmetic that supports that from a gambling standpoint. That one play, you go for it. Kind of like roulette wheel. You got a close to 50% chance of winning. Yeah, there is arithmetic from a gambler's perspective of exactly doing what T-Bodie just said. One play.
If you're an alum, stroking $2.5 million checks a year to Arkansas, you're happy with that coach's gambling attitude? I'm not.
Saying there's not consequences to the wrong decision. I'm just saying that there are certain decisions that are made. When they're wrong, we look like idiots. When they're right, we look like heroes. You know the routine.
Okay.
The one thing I will say real quick, and then I don't know if T-Bodie still had the floor. Does T-Bodie still have the floor?
No, technically no, so go ahead.
I only have the floor, Tom.
All right. Well, the only thing I would say is I'm going to reiterate. I don't even know what he said. I'm outside trying to have a cigarette. My wife, if she busts me smoking inside, I'm going to be so fucking busted. All right. Anyways. I want to reiterate what Mike said. I was talking to my buddy, who I've mentioned before, was a high school All-American, full ride, University of Illinois, and I'm like, and Mike's right, what a freaking great week of college football. Now, you're going to say to me, what are your two biggest surprises? I can't give you any, but I just remember it being a very, very, very good week.
Alabama loss was huge. I mean, who thought?
Yeah, that's huge.
Texas was a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was. There
were several things. I can't name them all, but yeah, there were several. Yeah.
Okay. The rankings, of course, Georgia, Iowa, up to 1 and 2. Cincinnati up 2 spots to 3. Oklahoma up 2 to 4. Alabama drops to 4. Oh no, I'm sorry. They dropped to 5. Ohio State up to 6. Penn State only drops to 7. Michigan up 1 to 8, and Oregon only down 1. Even though they, what did they do? They lost. Was it last weekend or they lost the week before?
They lost the week before.
They didn't play. Okay. And then Michigan State up 1. Kentucky made the biggest jump. Kentucky jumped 5 spots.
Kentucky played the old Iowa two-step shuffle in the sense that, remember, Iowa was 18, then we had a big win, then we were 10, then we beat Iowa State and Ames, and we went to, like, 6. That's what Kentucky's doing now. Oh, and incidentally, when you talk about Kentucky, you probably should mention our old player at Iowa, Mark Stoops. He's the coach at Kentucky.
Right.
He's doing some serious stuff. He's doing
future
some
Iowa coach,
stuff.
Right?
That's a lot of people think. A lot of people would love to have Mark Stoops at Iowa.
Yeah, when Kirk cashes in, maybe literally, by the way. Stoops. I mean, you know, he played at Iowa. He's part of the, you know, Stoops clan, and he's, look at the success he's having.
I'll take Mark over Bob. I know most people would say, not by Bob, I don't mean someone else. Bob Stoops is the old, as everyone knows here in this conversation, Oklahoma coach. I'll take Mark Stoops over him. You don't take a fucking
program.
You don't take
a
fucking program like Kentucky and do it what you did like that. That's a good, solid move.
Well, you want somebody that's going to be around a while, too. I mean, Stoops, you know, even if you get Bob Stoops to come out of retirement, you know, the guy's not, you know, he's what, 61, you know, and Kirk's probably got a couple more years in him. You really want to hire Bob Stoops at 64
or 5? Anybody that's thinking about Bob Stoops, put it out of your mind. Bob Stoops' dad died when he was 54 or 55.
But I thought Mark Stoops was almost in the same class, so I might be wrong.
No, he's quite a bit younger.
I think Mark Stoops is 52, maybe.
Oh, yeah, really? I thought he played 50, when
maybe
Bob 50. Stoops played.
No. Mike was Stoops.
Mike was our age, and Mike flamed out at
Arizona. But Bob Stoops' dad died when Mark was in college, in fact. Mark missed a game because of him. Bob Stoops' dad died at 54, I think on the sidelines of a heart attack. Bob Stoops finally decided, got to a point where he says, I'm not doing this anymore. I want to watch my kids grow up. I want to see my grandkids, et cetera. I think that's why he won't come back into coaching. Now, Mark, you know, if he's got a good thing going to Kentucky.
I think that's a very admirable position. Yes, I think you're right.
I think you might see Mark Stoops, though, where you might see him get, you know, assuming he has a 1 or 2 loss-only season. I think you're going to see Mark. Okay, Vito just pointed out Mark Stoops is 54, but I think you might see Mark Stoops in the conversation for USC's job.
Now that's an interesting concept. I haven't thought of.
No, I think so.
You know, it would.
Well, yeah,
be,
I mean, I would hire him in a minute.
Because look at what
we all, meaning us Iowa guys, always reflect on who you want
you,
to replace.
You mean you'd go with Mark Stoops over Matt Campbell for the Southern
okay,
Cal?
Okay, well, here's the thing about
I most certainly would.
Campbell's a Midwest guy. Mark Stoops is, too, for the most part. But Mark Stoops has got connections that Campbell probably doesn't have. The other thing, you know, people are talking about guys like Ed Orgeron. If Ed Orgeron's out at LSU, why would USC take him? There's no way. He's not a USC type of guy. James Franklin, though, you know?
James Franklin is not a game coach, is he? Kind of like what Vito pointed out to me about Jimbo Fisher. He's like, he might be somewhat fraudulent. Now, I think Campbell's a great coach. Do not get me wrong. I just think that Mark Stoops is a better game coach.
Yeah.
And recruiting, you leave to, like, you go to USC, it speaks for itself. You don't have to do a fucking piece of work. Now, that's an exaggeration, but what I was getting at, though,
was that Matt Campbell's stock has kind of gone down because of the disappointment that Iowa State had.
Correct.
It's conceivable that Iowa State could rally a little bit. And, you know, we'll see. They got a game coming up with Oklahoma.
next month. I'm not holding my breath on that, but you know, we'll see if
I
we
am,
can get back
I
where
am,
everybody.
I am. I think they're going to fucking win it. And I'll tell you what, last week before they lost, that was going to be my team. That's going to be is going to be my surprise pick that they're going to be one of the four in the CFP.
Who's that?
So, I think they're going to beat Oklahoma, Iowa State. I think they're going to beat Oklahoma. So I'm kind of, it sounds like I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth when I'm talking about Campbell, but I think they're going to beat Oklahoma. What, baby?
Okay. Let's now talk T. Bodie. What, let's hear what your thoughts are on the game, the Hawkeye game last Saturday.
Got to believe that when Clifford went down, we didn't know about it till halftime. So even though he went down, we were only down by a touchdown. I don't know. Some
right.
people say we had to come back. Maybe we do. I don't think anyone knows.
No.
Exactly. No one knows.
I think reasonable prognosticators could say we would have lost by three touchdowns if Clifford came back. But that's just me.
Three.
Here's a thought. Here's a thought, though.
They thought
okay.
he was only down by a touchdown when he went down.
Yeah, exactly. Just down
one
touchdown.
Okay, I'm just saying when he came in, the backup, Blackwell, whatever his fucking name is.
Roberson.
Okay. He had a deer in the headlight looks like you read about. And
guys, we're getting away from it. T. Bodie has the floor. I want his thoughts first about him. Clifford and what else?
My bad.
Well, he may have made a difference, but you know, we were only 7 points down. So I think the game's a different ball game and it plays out differently. You know, we don't hold them pinned inside their five, but we still have them down to their five. How many times did Taylor punt it down inside the five or ten?
Yeah.
Five times and three inside the five?
You guys are remembering a different game than me. We were down by 10 points, but okay, go ahead.
We were down by seven when he went out.
We were down by seven.
Okay.
And then, Mike, what a thought from you. What do you think? What was your thought, prevailing thought?
Well, look, I think it would have been a tougher road to hoe coming back with Clifford in because their offense would have been, a little higher up. But I would point out, as an article I was reading, Iowa gets better defensively as the game goes on. If you look at the scoring, they've only given up 20 points in the second half. So it was fair to say that, you know, Penn State got Iowa a little bit early on Iowa's defense, but if you look at the pattern over the games before that, they would have had a lot tougher, would have been, scarcer opportunity even for Clifford. I think, you know, really what needed to happen because Clifford was killing them on some runs where Iowa was, for some reason, they always do this. They don't want to show blitz unless they have to. They should have showed blitz a little earlier. At least, you know, even if you don't blitz every play, show it. Keep that guy in place. But when he starts running, that's when you got to start blitzing more. But Kirk Ferentz had a great point about this after the game. We're talking about the Clifford injury. He said, you know, when you have an offense that exposes your quarterback and you're running them constantly, things like this happen.
Yep.
And, you know, I would just leave it there.
Yep. Tommy, what's your one thought from you? One thought from the game.
Well, I'm not going to say anything original because your predecessor or my predecessors in this conversation were both right. Kind of go after Mike's thing in the sense of defense. Mike quoted an article. Well, I saw the Big Ten Network, forget the show, Final Drive, whatever, and they had a good point. And their point was, okay, we've been saying how long is Iowa's defense?
But they keep doing it.
And I was so impressed with the defense. That would be my number one thing is the defense was great. And I, you know, echo the sentiments of the other two. I was impressed. I think we got Purdue this weekend, right?
Yep. We'll talk about that in a second. We'll talk about
somewhat of a trap game, but no, we look good. We are no rights to be the number two ranked team in the country. That being said, they keep.
I'm sorry.
Who is?
Yeah, Federer.
Yeah, I know. That's the opposite point, which is a valid one. I'm just okay. To me, you need a little bit of offense. I would much rather defense be more prevalent, which it was is, and that's the point I'll make about Hank's statement about last week.
Can I stand up for the offense here? Because I think the offense actually didn't do so bad.
Say positive about Petrus, you may not.
Penn State, I think you agree with this. Penn State has an elite defense.
Yes.
And Iowa scored 23 points, which is more than anybody. Auburn didn't score 23 points. No one has.
Where did the
they
fucking
23
points
come from?
They
gained over 300 total yards, including 200 passing yards by Petrus for, you know, was it a, you know.
If you guys are
going to
defend Petrus,
juggernaut?
I'm out of
no.
conversation.
And it's never going to be. But they outgained Penn State. They had over 300 total yards against an elite defense. And they did what they had to do offensively. Coming from behind, I don't care who it is, you spotted somebody a 14-point lead, you're behind 20-10 with 2 minutes to play in the third quarter, you come back and win. Your offense has to have done something.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna quickly interject there, Hank, real quick. That's a valid point, and I concede that. I concede to that point. Yeah.
Well,
you're right.
And when you want to discuss injuries, guys, okay, let me go back to what something T. Bodie said initially, the Clifford injury. I hearken back to a game that Mike and I were sitting together at, and T. Bodie was a few rows below us with the gargantuan-sized Iowa flag and came up and talked to us at halftime. 1983 against Ohio State. Now, I know, you're talking back 40-some years, but that Ohio State was ahead 7-3 at half, and Ted said, "We're going to win." I'm like, okay, is this the flag talking or is it the tailgate beverage? But something happened in that game. Something happened in that game.
Barry had before the game.
But something happened in that game. Keith Byers went out right before halftime. Keith Byers was tearing us up. Keith Byers went out. Now, you know what? That's the nature of the game. You know, think of a different game, 2009, where Iowa's 9-0 rolling along. Ricky Stanzi gets hurt. Ricky Stanzi gets hurt. Now, Penn State fans are saying, but our backup is now the starting quarterback at Kentucky, and our other backup, well, guess what? Our backup that year, Jake Christensen, was no longer our backup. He was playing at Eastern Illinois. Now, was he very good? No. Nobody wanted him starting over Ricky Stanzi. But if Jake Christensen comes in that Northwestern game after Stanzi's injury, I think things turn out a little differently. But guess what? That's what happens. So, yeah, Clifford's injury.
The sentiment of your argument is
certainly a huge difference. Certainly a huge difference. But as Kirk Ferentz says, that's part of the game. You know, let's not forget Penn State's replacement quarterback is the number 9 dual-threat quarterback in his high school recruiting class.
But
also theoretically,
remember, Kirk Ferentz does speak in platitudes and cliches, but okay.
But another example, if Ronnie Lester doesn't go down in the Final Four game, what would have happened?
Yeah, exactly.
But he did.
No,
but he did.
I am the first to admit defeat in a mental battle, and I'll give it to you, Hawk, on my – you're right. You don't come back from 14 points without having some semblance of offense. So I'm kind of been like correcting myself on this. I am.
Okay, let's go.
So
we're going to go back.
Right.
Okay, next up, we're going to go back to T. Bodie on something. The winning touchdown.
Real quick, before I get to that, let's talk about every time Iowa got momentum, gets a big play, and Penn State has an injury.
Yep.
They got a guy.
And you know what?
Did
you notice that it was, and Kirk Ferentz talked about that. He said, look, our fans saw what was going on. He didn't talk too much. He threw a little shade at Franklin for it, but he did it perfectly. And did you notice it happened after a running? It didn't happen on pass plays. It happened after a Goodson run.
I got one for you guys. I got one for you. And this is going to be, I promise, the last time I interrupt. 12th man, you guys know what that means when it comes to football parlance. It means the field.
Yep, absolutely.
Hank, you and I were next to each other. In fact, T. Bodie, or at least his brother, was down below us.
T. Bodie, he was there. T. Bodie was there.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
his brother was
close,
spread
out. The freaking atmosphere I saw this last Saturday, fucking blew my mind. I'm like,
yep.
Are you motherfuckers kidding me?
Okay.
Iowa 12th man showed up.
So okay.
Oh,
but, yeah. So T-Bodie made the point on that, the injury thing. That was, you know, I can't even believe that. I can't believe they allow that. You know, they're going to have to change something with that because
yeah.
it's, you know. But what did you think of that touchdown play?
By the
what
way, there's a history of this that's gone on. You guys probably remember. There's a famous game back in the 50s in the Evie years when
yeah,
Iowa
the,
was playing
the
fa- Notre
the
Dame.
Fainting, the fainting Irish.
The fainting Irish. They pulled the same. And I'll tell you what, Evie wasn't nearly as gracious about what happened as Kirk was.
No,
you know,
he was not.
I mean, Evashevsky was not a diplomat, and he went after Notre Dame. He, you know, and rightfully so, because that's even more than this game.
The
yeah,
problem
yeah,
with
that
argument, and it's a legitimate argument, but
the
problem with it is they are the rules. You know,
yeah.
In other words, you're allowed to get away with it. Now, if your argument is that rule's got to be changed, I could not agree more, but they are the rules.
How do you change
let's
it, though? It's hard to change it. What would you do? How would you change
yeah.
it?
Well,
after the third time somebody goes down.
Well, no, they're talking about, for instance, if a guy goes down on a play like that, he needs to stay out for a series or stay out for a clock
okay.
amount, you know, whatever. So, T-Bodie, back to – so what was your thought on the touchdown? Did you see it coming at all?
You know what? We don't throw down the field. I was a big hater on Petras the whole game, if you recall. So it took me by surprise, but Iowa always seems to come back late in the game. I can tell you this, I'm glad we scored on that play because I don't know if we score from the 5.
Yeah, or the 1.
Yeah.
you know, oh, Jesus, I keep interrupting.
Okay, so you're up. You're
T-Bodie
up next,
just
then.
Said you don't know if we score on the 5. First possession of the game, we get an interception on the 7, and we only pull off 3 points. So I'm
yeah.
in the exact same boat. I don't know if we score on the 5. Or like you just said, Hank, I think it was you, maybe it was Hawkeye Mike, or even the 1. I don't know.
Mike, what was your thought?
I feel pretty good about the 1, but you're right, the 5. I mean, there's no guarantees, right? You have to run another play. Anything can happen. But, you know, we were lucky to get the call on the first touchdown to Charlie Jones because I honestly don't think he got in. I think it should have been at the half-yard line. But
I agree with that
100%. Probably we would have got it in from there. Because we were gaining, even against Penn State, 2-3 yards every time we did a quarterback sneak. In fact, someone said they ought to meld that into our offense more and run it, like, on first downs and things like that. You know, just, you know, rather than doing some end-around or something. But you know, who saw that coming? I kept thinking earlier in the game, and see if you guys feel the same way, that we needed to be throwing, you know, doing the play action and throwing more on first down. I kind of always felt that way, and weren't doing it enough. Now, they said they had to wait until there was no blitz going on, and they're blitzing 80% of the time. But, you know, whatever, that was a perfect call at the perfect time. Perfectly executed, too.
T-Bodie, what were you saying?
Did you guys see the Buffalo game, Sunday Night Football?
No.
Maybe it was Monday Night. Josh Allen literally hurdled a guy running the ball as the quarterback.
A 30-yard run on a draw or something like that, right?
Yeah.
That motherfucker didn't do shit against Iowa. I don't know if you guys remember. He played for Wyoming.
Yeah, well,
but
so what happened? What was
just for a quarterback, you know, to run? You know, you sit there and Mike was saying how it would be cool, maybe, and I don't disagree to sit there and pull that quarterback sneak every now and then. I like running quarterback.
Well, I think the thing that set it up, they talked about it earlier a couple times, before the play. They kept saying, you know, where they're looking for the play action, this is why. And they were saying, this is why they'll be looking for the play action, because watch when their edge player commits to this level, which was happening. Their edge players were committing. And so when they ran it, it was perfect. I mean, it, for all Brian Ferentz's faults, I really sometimes wonder about his sequence of play calls within a game. Within the same game, I can say the guy's an absolute genius. And on that play, he was an absolute.
Very
I mean, that play,
point.
That
Very
play was not.
Point.
That play was could not have been drawn up better. I mean, it was absolutely insane.
Yep.
how perfect it worked out. But I mean, who knows what would have been called if he's out of bounds at the 3 or the 5? You don't even. I mean,
very interesting point.
At that point, does he really? I mean, we're seeing. You know, we've been seeing reverses and jet sweeps when we're on the 8-yard line lately. You know, I'm not sure that you know how well conceived those are. But at the same time, other times it's like, oh, my God, the most beautifully called series I've ever seen him do. I mean, it's just – it's mind-boggling how he does this. I mean, it's just –
Well, you know what the similarity is? Brian Ferentz is very similar to Petras. Petras at times – now, not lately, but in recent past – has looked like, at times, Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Brian Ferentz at times has looked like Bill Walsh, and that at other times he shits the fucking bed. So
yeah,
I can't fucking figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's another question just before we get to I'm going to start with Brother Tommy. Do you think OSU, do you think Ohio State's unstoppable, at least within the Big Ten?
Yes, I do. In fact, that's a revelation of mine. Now, the only one that's going to give them a I used to say Michigan State. Now it's going to be Michigan potentially to stop them, but no, I see them. It might have been T. Bodie. It might have been Indy Mike that a few weeks ago prognosticated Ohio State's going to be in the Final Four. Yes, they are.
Yeah. I would say that they are. Ohio State is at Ann Arbor, so that will be a tough one there at the end of the year.
Yeah, when has Ohio State lost in Ann Arbor in the last 3 decades?
No, I agree with you on Ohio State. I think they're the team to beat in the East right now.
T-Bodie, what's your thought?
Certainly.
T-Bodie, your thoughts?
I think their quarterback is phenomenal. For a freshman, that kid, he just took that game over last week, and I think he's just getting better each week.
Going to be a fucking All-American next year if he's not this year. Yeah, I agree.
It's going to be Iowa versus Ohio State in Indy.
Yeah. It better be Iowa versus Ohio State.
Yeah. That could be interesting because the one thing about Ohio State still, I think, is that their defense has just been it's not been traditional, you know, Ohio State defense. I would also point out they haven't really played anybody since they lost to Oregon. You know, we thought Maryland was good, but, you know, Iowa beat the hell out of Maryland. And, you know, so, I mean, I'd like to see Ohio State against a Penn State and a Michigan State, Michigan, which are coming up, but they haven't done it yet. Or they have to go to Lincoln. We'll see what happens there. That'll be a dangerous game. But
Hey, can I throw something in there real quick?
Yeah, but let me just finish my thought. In the Big Ten championship game, Ohio State-Iowa, I think it's looking more and more likely. And I think that, you know, if Iowa's 12-0, it'll be very important because they could, if they lose a close game to Ohio State, they look decent and lose, they could still get in the playoff.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I got to throw something in real quick because I've thought about it. It's a 3 in the morning thought, you know, when you go outside because you got to smoke or whatever you got to fucking do. I bet you Day at Ohio State and the whole staff are – fucking so upset about the fact that they didn't remember they put a last ditch effort on Justin Jacobs, our defensive guy. Could you imagine if Justin Jacobs was on that team? I mean, Ferentz is playing him too judiciously. That motherfucker is the next Lawrence Taylor if he stays healthy. Now, Ohio State's got to be like, what the fuck did we not do to get that guy? Because he's a native Ohioan. And that motherfucker.
And their defense could use him too, because that's the one, you know, they got a stellar offense, but a questionable defense.
Yep. Oh, I'm saying he would have been a difference maker to the point where they would not have lost to Oregon. I'm telling you. All right, I'm a big Justin, and I don't go this nutty on players, but. I do it with Luka Garza. Now I'm going to basketball, obviously. But Justin Jacobs, to me, is so good. And people don't realize – people realize he's good, but they don't realize how good he is.
Well, let's get some – this is something I want to talk about, recruiting. Iowa just got a flip. Ohio – out of Ohio, running back Caleb Johnson, he had been committed to Cal. he just flipped and he's committed to Iowa. Now, signing day hasn't gotten here yet, but, you know, we're starting to see that. Illinois just got a guy that decommitted, a guy that we thought we might have had, a defensive lineman slash linebacker. So I think guys are realizing that, yeah, it's Ohio State, but you know what? It's also about the environment. I mean, I think, you know, look, why did Tyler Goodson, you know, he got late offers from places like Georgia and stuff. Why did he pick Iowa? I think there is something to the family feel, number one. I think there is something to, you know, to Kirk Ferentz per se. And look, I'm not knocking Ryan Day. I mean, the guy's lost one regular season game in his career as a head coach. But I think by the same token, you know what? I think there's a, you know, they couldn't shake him, you know, and I think here's the deal.
If you're a smart parent, if you're a fan like me, you get pissed off at Kirk Ferentz. If you're a smart parent, you send your kid to Kirk Ferentz and you don't even think twice. He develops players and he makes them pros. Now, why he doesn't go 11-1 every year? All right. That's a different discussion that I actually, truth be told, cannot answer. But I will tell you this. My kid, if he fucking can play college football, it's going to Iowa without a second thought because they develop them.
Okay. We're going to get into our picks now.
Real quick, Moss is not on the 2-deep roster for Iowa.
Correct.
Yeah,
Riley Moss is out.
BTS says he's out for a few
Are you kidding
weeks,
me? He's hurt?
No, it's not. It's semi-good. He's going to be out for a few weeks. Now, I would point out next week that Iowa's got a bye, but no surgery's needed. So he should be back, you know, end of October, first game in November.
We do not say bye week. Bye week implies some kind of benefit like advancement. No, it's an idle week. I hate that when they say bye week.
No. Wrong. Bye week is a benefit, and you're wrong on that one. Difference of opinion, that's all. Your record doesn't go down since you can't
But
lose.
In the newspaper, it says idle. It doesn't say bye week. It says idle. So just a pointing out. There's five teams this week from the Big Ten that are not playing. Our opponent this week is Purdue. They're coming off a free week. They did not play last weekend. So is that going to make a difference? They're coming off an idle week. They still don't have Xander Horvath back. There's another guy. They're missing a couple guys. Bell is back, but I think he's diminished. Penn State is off, so maybe that gives Clifford time. Frankly, with we having an off week after this Saturday, it gives Riley Moss time, and he is expected to be back. So Can the Iowa offense improve enough this coming week? You know, because Purdue's supposed to have a decent defense. Then another question, how good is Michigan and how good is Michigan State? We're going to find that, I think, a little bit this weekend. Michigan State's going to Indiana. So let's get to the picks. First up, Michigan State at Indiana. Brother Tommy, we will start with you.
It's going to be Michigan State's first loss. But I've been on Indiana like I've been on Iowa to the point of detriment. But I think Indiana.
Okay. Brother Tommy going with Indiana. Mike?
Yeah, I was going to say, if Tommy hadn't gone with Indiana, I was like, hey, where's the guts there? That clear up. I'm not totally down on Indiana. They've had a tough schedule. The one thing I don't know is, Penix healthy? Because I thought he'd gotten banged up a little bit, but I don't, you know, so I don't know. I don't know
who gets the shit. He sucks anyways. Who gets the shit?
He was healthy.
I might go with the upset if he's playing. If he's not playing, I don't think Indiana's gonna do it with what is that Tuttle or whatever his name is. Michigan State will win. It'll be close, but Michigan State does it.
Okay, I'll pick for Indy this week, and I'm gonna go with Michigan State. I saw enough at Rutgers to convince me. Did anybody see that run by their running back against Rutgers?
You guys are not fucking brave. They're a good team. My bad. You're not brave.
Gee, that running back, that Walker, that run he had against Rutgers for 94 yards.
Oh, no,
T-Bodie, what's your thought?
I'm on MSU.
MSU, okay.
Yeah, you got three guys that sit there and get over 300 yards in a game, rushing and passing and receiving.
Yeah.
They're going to be
good.
Good. You know what? In the future, I'm going to take the faggot route, too.
Okay. Hey,
that's
we're not derogatory.
It's not a reflection on sexuality, dummy.
Okay.
That's how the college kids do it. It just means you're kind of weak. Yeah,
okay.
All.
Next up. Mike up next. Nebraska at Minnesota.
Everybody's like, oh, Nebraska, you know, is a dangerous team. They are. But Minnesota, I will point out, in their last, they were off last week. But in their last game, they went to Purdue and won in West Lafayette, even though, you know, I thought they were going down the tubes after they lost to Bowling Green. I can't figure these guys out. Nebraska finds a way to lose. Since this game's at Minnesota, I'm going to pick Minnesota. Maybe that's a bit of an upset, but I don't know. Nebraska finds a way to lose, and they're 3-4.
Right. I'm picking for Indy. I'm going to pick Nebraska just because I think Minnesota, it's on and off. Their running back is back. You know, they already lost Ibrahim. Their other running back just got home from being in the hospital. So I'm going to go with Nebraska. How about T-Bodie?
Yeah, Nebraska. I think they're going to just get, like, I think, and I know Tom's going to probably take Nebraska, too. I don't think they lose again until they get to play Iowa.
Okay. Brother Tom, who are you picking?
Ted, you know they play Ohio State, Ted.
Judging by the evidence, would say Tom's going to take the Nebraska, but I'm not. I'm going with Hawkeye Mike here. I think, the $64,000 question. The $64,000 question is which Minnesota team shows up, and we don't know. But I'm going with saying Minnesota. Put this shit on paper because I'm going to start tearing you guys' asses apart on my picks. Although Mike and I seem to have a lot of similar.
Okay.
I think T-Bodie. Just to be fair, I think T-Bodie forgot that Nebraska does play Ohio State in a few weeks.
Yep, I did, but that's okay. And he went with it now. I just, you know,
I
love Dayton.
Nebraska's a smart pick. Let's call it one of my upsets. But no, I agree with T-Bodie said Tom's going to do this because Tom's been honking Nebraska for the last few weeks. But things change, and that's going to change. I think Mike made convincing
argument. Up next, picking for Indy Hawk is I'm going to pick on Rutgers Northwestern. Believe it or not, I'm going to go Rutgers winning this in Evanston.
Yep.
Why would one not believe that when Northwestern's got two fucking wins in this season?
Well, because Rutgers I don't think is that good either. I think they're decent, but I don't think they're so good.
You don't
that
use terms like believe it or not. You're like, I'm
going
to go.
Okay, I'm
going
with Rutgers.
I don't
Rutgers.
Know the line, but I'm betting it's close to a pick 'em.
Yeah.
And so you don't use terms like believe it or not on pick 'em. All right, my bad.
When you're the host of the show, you say whatever the hell you want. T-Bodie, you're up. What's your thought on this one?
No real thoughts. I think Rutgers, I'm going to give them one more chance. I thought they'd do it last week and didn't. And as you said, they've kind of turned the program around a little bit. Northwestern's beat them.
Okay. Oh, so you're going to say Rutgers or you're saying Northwestern?
Rutgers.
Okay. Brother Tommy.
Quick. Make it in the middle.
Brother Tommy, come on.
T-Bodie. I echo T-Bodie. I think Rutgers. Yes, I agree with T-Bodie.
Mike?
Yeah, Rutgers. Northwest is really bad.
Okay. So no surprises.
Right
no
on
surprises
that one.
There.
Hawkeye Mike's.
Okay, now, Army at Wisconsin. Brother Tommy, you're up.
Real quick in the word, Wisconsin.
Okay, Mike.
How's that?
Tom, you know, I'm surprised. You know, you're always saying have guts picking upset here. And Army is 4-1.
Okay, Mike's going to try to out-upset
me. All right,
finish up.
They're a good team.
they play that beer type wishbone, and Wisconsin, you know, they're struggling. I'm going to go with an. I think it's an upset pick, but I'm going to pick my upset of the week.
Okay.
Real quick, Hank. Next Wednesday, if fucking Army ends up winning, I'm going to feel like I'm going to have to bow down to I'm not worthy to Mike. Because I will say this. That's a fuck. Bob, stop. Or Hank, stop trying to fucking speed things up. But that I will say by Hawkeye Mike is a brave pick. That's the sort of thing I do. Seriously. That's the sort of thing
I do. Okay. Well,
and so I'm kind of regretting it, but I'm going still with Wisconsin.
Army's not bad.
No, I agree. I'm rethinking my logic like Jimbo Fisher. I'm like, I listened to a guy that said something, and I'm like, seriously, I'm not fucking messing with you.
I'm going to go for Indy. I'm going to go with Wisconsin. T. Bodie, your call.
Yeah, I said Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay.
Well, maybe I didn't say it. I wrote it down here.
Okay.
But, yeah, Wisconsin. Army will cover this 14 points, I think. You are right. Army playing pretty good. But I think we'll find out what kind of team Wisconsin has. You know, this is one of those games where they could overlook them, and you never know.
Yeah. Okay, next up, Mike, you're taking the lead on this one. Oklahoma State at Texas, the undefeated Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, I thought Texas was, good. I picked them last week to beat Oklahoma, and they kind of disappointed me, especially the way they lost. Oklahoma State has been a little bit of a surprise. They look pretty good. I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Okay, good call. Indy Hawk on my behalf, on behalf of Indy Hawk, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. T. Bodie, you're up.
Yeah, I think you guys are both wrong. I'm going to go with Texas. I think that they played very well against Oklahoma. I don't think people thought that they were going to lead that game like they did. Yeah, they gave it up at the end, but I'm going with.
Okay, Brother Tommy.
Back the Brinks truck up to what actually T. Bodie just said. Texas is going to win. They're probably, I do not know this, they're probably within a three-point thing, meaning they're going to be favored by 3-2, underdog by 1.5. But no, T. Bodie's absolutely right. You want to go with Texas on this one, if you're a gambler, I'm saying. And they're going to win outright. So you don't want to do money line. Why do it when you're not getting any more money? Okay. But, yeah, thanks. Texas. I agree totally with T. Bodie on this one.
Okay. Picking for Indy Hawk. This next one, Auburn at Arkansas. I'm pretty sure I'm picking, so I'm going to go with Arkansas. I think Arkansas is not down, and they're down, but I don't think they're out yet. So I think I'll go with Arkansas. It's a home game. I don't think if they tie it at the end, I think they go for the tie and then try to get it in overtime. So how about you, T. Bodie?
Yeah, I'll take Arkansas.
Yeah, I think it's just Brother Tommy.
My philosophy is you actually hit the words right on the head. Down, but not out yet. But when you actually say that, there's a question mark there. But I will go Arkansas, but they could be out yet. You're right. We don't know if they are or not, but my guess would be they might. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going Arkansas.
Mike.
Yeah, they bounced back this week. I think Arkansas will win.
Okay. T. Bodie, you're up next on this one. This is probably not as hard a pick as I'm making it out to be, but it's Kentucky at Georgia.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's a hard pick. You're fucking out of your fucking gourd. But go ahead.
I'm just saying some people are, saying
all right. You're entitled to your terminology. My bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go against Georgia, so Georgia.
Yeah. Brother Tommy, your call.
Georgia's not losing another game this year, so Georgia.
Yeah. Okay. Mike?
Yeah, I'm buying into Georgia. I think Kentucky's a good team, but they aren't going to beat Georgia at Georgia.
They're no Texas A&M.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and as you guys probably know, Georgia
ain't no
because
Alabama
of their defense,
either.
Similar to Iowa, because of their defense, Georgia is arguably the best team in the country. And
there, they should
be
number one.
They are number one.
Okay,
oh,
brother
I
Tommy.
Brother Tommy,
here's your chance to really get to make that big pick.
I'm not being as bold as Hawkeye Mike, which I hate. I'm going to come up with something. Keep going.
Okay, well, this next game.
You're being a pussy. Yeah.
This next game.
I am
is,
being a pussy, and I'll be the first. Hey, when I'm a pussy, I admit it.
Okay,
admit
so here you go. Here we go. Here's
okay.
your shot. UCF without starting quarterback Dylan Gabriel at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Ooh, there you go.
Sorry. Yes, brother Tommy's being a pussy. Granted. But, you know, these guys have got like 3-game leads on me, so I got to start, you know, separating the lead. Cincinnati without a fucking doubt.
Okay, Mike?
I'd love to see UCF pull the upset, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Yeah, Andy Hawk is agreeing. And T. Bodie?
Yeah, you know, if we could only see Cincinnati lose, that would really help out to get the two teams from the Big Ten into the playoffs. But they're not going to lose.
Absolutely
they're
true.
Not lose.
Yeah, it would help out, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one game Cincinnati might lose. Circle it coming up in a few weeks. SMU, who's ranked, they're pretty good. If it's got to be SMU or no one's going to beat them. I think it's at SMU, too.
Well, if it's at SMU, that changes everything. All right, go on. I'm sorry.
Okay, so starting with Mike on this next one, and this is apropos. Iowa State Cyclones visiting Kansas State.
I'm not one of these Iowa fans that hates Iowa State, you know, so I actually like Iowa State. I kind of grew up going to their games. So it's hard for me to pick against them, and I think Iowa State's they're coming off a idle week, not bye week, and they'll be ready. And I think they beat Kansas. I don't think Kansas State's that great. I thought maybe they were, but they've lost a game or two since. Iowa State wins.
Okay, I'm picking them as well. I'm picking Iowa State. I just think they've had their week off. I think they, you know, Kansas doesn't really count, except for the fact that I think they're starting to realize
Kansas State,
that
there's a difference. Kansas.
I know, but I'm saying
they
beat up on Kansas a week and a half or 2 weeks, 2 games ago or whatever, and so I think you know that doesn't really count, except that I think that they see that they've got you know they're looking at the they're on the edge of turning it into a disaster season. And I think Matt Campbell is better than, you know, we just, you know, is he an in-game coach? We don't know that, but I'm going to go with Iowa State. How about T. Bodie, you're up.
Yeah, I think Iowa State had 2 weeks to prepare for him. And sounds like just seeing the little news clips on, they're kind of, you know, feeling down about their season a little bit. And so they're going to have a little extra oomph. And Kansas State, well, they're not a Kansas as far as losers. I think they're beatable. Iowa State.
Yeah, okay. And Tommy?
In a phrase, Kansas State, and I'll elaborate real quickly. I fucked that one up. Iowa State, and I'll elaborate, and you guys aren't going to get it because of the disparaging diatribe I did against fucking Matt Campbell. But Iowa State does not lose another game this year. Iowa State. By far, in fact, I don't know what the spread is, but if you're getting at least, or if you're giving up anything more than 6 or 7, bet the farm on it.
Okay.
Yeah. They're -6.5.
Now we're at the moment of truth.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I said 6.5.
We're
going to
go
seven,
into what
and,
this
game.
We're going to go into the game.
6.5, yeah.
We're going to go into this game, and there's going to be an interesting, if you want to call it a tiebreaker. It's Purdue at Iowa, obviously. It's Purdue has been a problem for us the last several years. Jeff Brohm is 3-1 against Kirk Ferentz, number one. Even a couple years ago when we did beat them, we did that stupid – we were up by like 20 points and pulled a bunch of people and had to put our first string defense back in, which was embarrassing enough. So, we're going to go – the tiebreaker is what's interesting. We're going to go with total yards for Tyler Goodson rushing and Spencer Petras passing. Now, as a frame of reference, Tyler Goodson is averaging roughly 87 yards a game rushing, and Spencer Petras is averaging roughly 190 yards. So that just their average is 277 yards. The average is 277 yards between the two of them. So I don't care how you break it out, but I just want the total yards, rushing yards for Tyler Goodson, passing yards for Spencer Petras. And Brother Tommy, we'll start with you. Who's your winner?
Anyone that's got half a fucking brain would say this is a tremendous trap game for Iowa. However, as you know, and I'll admit it to the people listening, I'm an Iowa honk, and I've been successful when predicting Iowa to win, so I will do that. But I'll tell you what, if they take it unseriously, they are going to fucking go down. Now, as to the total yard, Goodson's going to get about 48 yards rushing, which is not going to be obviously anything mentionable. And Petras, as you all know, I hate, is going to get 120 yards passing. The defense is going to win the game. But I'll tell you what, these motherfuckers better not be taking this game lightly, because this is
an important
game.
So how many yards are you saying total? Are you saying 168
yards?
Well,
if you had 50 and 120, I guess I would be saying 170. I mean,
okay.
That's the
way. Oh, you said 48. You said 48. So, you know.
Well, okay, 48. 50. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
okay.
170 total yards. I thought you were asking for a breakdown on rushing and passing.
Okay. No, well, I sort of was, but so Mike, who's going to win?
I just can't imagine how Tom could be more wrong. Well, first of all, Iowa's going to win, I think, easily. This team got over 300 yards against Penn State, and Purdue does not have Penn State's defense. Iowa's not.
You know the concept of laying down.
Even with a trap game. I was not going to lose in Kinnick to Purdue.
Well, I hope you're
Purdue's
right. I hope you're fucking
not a
right.
Good team.
I hope you're fucking right.
They're not a good team. Their offense has struggled.
And that's who
I think,
Iowa loses to. Last year they were a good team. Guess what?
Okay, Tom,
I've seen enough of this Iowa team this year. They're not going to lose to these guys.
It's a different team.
And Goodson's going to get 100 yards. And
no way.
Let him talk.
No, let me finish. Goodson's going to get 100 yards. Petras is going to throw for over 200 yards. He threw for 200 against Penn State. And Iowa's going to get 400 total yards.
So what's the total?
Give
me a total of Goodson's rushing and Petras' passing.
T. Bodie's going to be on my side. I know this.
They're going to combine for 350 yards.
350.
No, I take that back. Jesus.
Okay. Okay. Now I'm gonna pick Iowa, of course. Yeah, I think this is a trap game on the one hand. On the other hand, I think it's a sort of a breakout game. I think, you know, it's that game where, you know, against Penn State, everything was a struggle, but Tyler Goodson was able to get some good runs there. You know, he had some good runs, as evidenced by Penn State laying down after, you know. So I'm thinking big. I think he's going to get 150 yards, and I think Petras is going to throw for 220. So I'm going to go with 370.
Wow.
I think that's a good.
I hope you motherfuckers are right. I'm just saying you're just not being accurate. I hope you're right.
Tom, why are they going to get half the yards against Purdue that they got against Penn State? Explain that.
Because they just got done with a victory at Penn State where they are morally exhausted. And I'm telling you, I know ex-football players, ex-athletes and all that, they worn out. They haven't had enough recovery time. People are like, 2009, why did Iowa do so well against Georgia Tech? Well, because they had 4 weeks to prepare for gap defense. They're worn out, and it's not the same as last week. You got things like dopamine endorphins and stuff where the body just says, I give up. And this is one of those games. One might want to look at Alabama versus Texas A&M, but no one will. But I'm just telling you, I'm answering your question as honestly as I can possibly answer.
Okay.
I'm not saying Iowa's not going to win. I'm just nervous about this game.
Okay. T. Bodie, let's
hear
it. Oh,
my wife in the background just said she is too.
All right.
But T. Bodie poses a good question. It's like, all right, Brother Tommy, they fucking do against Penn State.
Okay.
Why can't they?
Brother Tommy, T. Bodie has the floor.
I haven't spoken on it, but I was going to say pretty much what Hawkeye Mike even threw out there. I think Goodson's ready to go off. I think he's due for a good game. I think Purdue's defense is not that great. I think Iowa's going to be all over it. I think Iowa wins 34-10, and I will go with Iowa, and I was going to say 370, but Hank took that, so I'm going to go 375.
375. Okay. At least it's not like Price is Right. You didn't say 371. That would have just
I want to
you guys are optimistic. I wish I was more optimistic. And all my mics usually the optimistic one, which is ironic here. But okay.
Well, you know, we're due, Tom. We're due for
I'm optimistic.
Believe me when I say, I'm going to throw this in real quick. Hank will tell you, the most negative prognosticator on Iowa over the last 40 years. That being said, I think this is a special team. As Hawkeye Mike said, I think this team could beat – I'm not saying they're going to, but could beat Ohio State in the final or in the championship game. Yeah, so, yeah, I know. I speak out of both sides of my mouth. What do they call that? Indians call it minced tongue. What do they call it?
Well, the real statistic here we have to touch on. Maryland, 7 turnovers. Penn State, 4 turnovers. How many turnovers did they get against Purdue?
Yeah,
and that's where I'm like – you guys are right, but I'm getting back to me where I'm not going to be overly optimistic, but I did say Iowa would win. That being said, I'm kind of like Hank's speaking for him via proxy. Indy Hawk is like me. He's like, I'm sorry. Witness this shit for 40 years. Iowa sooner or later.
Look at some Purdue history. They've racked up yards. O'Connell against Minnesota, a game they lost. O'Connell had 371 yards. David Bell had 120 yards receiving. Their rushing guy had 95. I mean, against Illinois, which they won, they actually didn't have great numbers. But the thing is, I think Purdue has had really, really average competition. I mean, other than Notre Dame, they have played Oregon State, UConn, Illinois and Minnesota. Notre Dame.
20 second correction. 20 seconds. I don't even need that. 10 seconds. You say look at their history? Okay. I looked at the last 3 years. They've beaten us 2 out of the last 3
okay,
years.
Okay, that's not what I'm talking
about.
I'm talking
the
about their team
that
this
matters.
Year. But I'm talking about their team this year. I just don't think they're that good. I think if we put them in a position where they have to throw and frankly, Penn State got into that position and it came back to bite them.
I'm stealing the show, but that's the next question. That's why you don't want to play fucking Michigan, is you don't want to play a team that's put in a position of having to throw, because if you have to throw against Iowa, you're fucked.
Right.
But Michigan is a good running team.
So T.
Bodie,
you had
something.
T. Bodie, you were saying something.
I think Kinnick's going to be rocking. I think that Iowa comes in just like they did after beating Michigan in '85. You know, they're number 2 team in the country. The fans know it. It's the second.
And quietly lost to Ohio State 2 weeks later. Okay, I don't understand that.
Would you let him
finish?
3 years.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, go ahead. So you're saying what crowd's in it? What else?
I just say the Kinnick's going to be rocking.
Yeah. I just don't think – I think Purdue's offense is not going to be able to do – I mean, I just don't – I'm just not as sold on Purdue. But, you know, somebody made a point on Big Ten Network, on BTN today. I don't remember if it was Monday's show or yesterday's. They were talking about, is Iowa's offense ever going to be enough? And one of them, I think it was Nicole Auerbach, said, you know, really, they don't really have to worry about that until – Indianapolis. I mean, they really only need to.
I fucking told you that, and it wasn't her. I fucking told you that.
No, she said it.
Stop stealing my shit. My wife.
I'm not talking. She just basically said, look, they don't need to worry about that until Indianapolis. I think that's a huge point. But I also think Purdue will be easier to worry. I mean, who thought Maryland's defense? I mean, we're told Maryland's defense was pretty good, and they had good numbers. And you know what? We went in there, and we absolutely destroy them. I just think.
Well, this is the deal where I make an apologetics-like statement. If you're going to look at Iowa's history this year, football history this year, they've knocked it out of the park. And you're right by saying, why should we be that worried? I'm just saying we don't want to take anything lightly. But
we look
phenomenal.
Guess what?
We look to the point where Brother Tommy, who's been there since the 80s, has never seen, in my mind anyways, a team like this Iowa team. I just don't want to get too cocky. That's all.
Yeah, no. But guess what? You're not playing it. You know, it's the players and the staff that's motivating.
I'm a fan. Cocky as a fan.
Right, yeah. So, I'm moving my prediction of total yards down. Tom's got
me
all concerned. And you know what? I think that we're going to even score more points. Well, I think our defense is going to rock, and I think the field position is going to be to the point where we're not going to gain that many yards. We're still going to win by 20, 25 points. So I'm going to go back down to where I originally was thinking. Hawkeye Mike was at 350. I'm at 345.
345.
Yeah, see, just so you guys know, he just moved it down because Brother Tommy can be somewhat convincing now and then. And
yeah, well,
only in the sense our defense is going to step up, and there's just not going to be an offense by Purdue.
Yeah,
you're right. A lot of people wouldn't recognize that's how the game works, but if defense, yes, you're absolutely okay.
There's some other factors though. For instance, is Charlie Jones? I mean, at a certain point, punters are going to start punting away from him. You know. On kickoffs, it's easier to do that. But, I mean, punters are going to stop punting away from him. You know, special teams will become more of a factor. Our special teams has been pretty darn good.
I'm not going to blow a load over that guy quite yet. But I'll tell you what, that motherfucker is, God, he's good. And if you watch the way he recognizes holes, gaps, call them what you want, he's very just for the – people that don't know Iowa Hawkeye football, he's our punt. He's also a receiver, but he's our punt returner, and he's special too. He's like, he's not Tim Dwight, but he's not that far from it. No, this is a special team.
It's not Marciano,
and so I don't phrase my shit right. This is a special team.
Yeah, it is.
Well, how
no
about,
doubt.
Let's do a little. Let's do a quick sound off to the special teams too, and particularly Torrey Taylor. And,
my God.
Is it Caleb Shudak? I mean, Shudak, you know, Taylor gets a lot of attention. He's great. He's maybe the best punter in the country. But Shudak's right up there as a place kicker. He's 11 for 11 in field goals and hasn't missed an extra point. You can't do much better
He missed one field goal.
Actually, yeah, he did. You're right. I forgot
off
the
a bad
State
snap.
Game, and that was a bad snap. Yeah, it wasn't his fault. So technically 11 for 12, but, you know, there was a –
Hawkeye Mike's point is this, I think. We've got a very special – I'll use the redundancy – special teams. And, you know what? Everyone loves – okay, I'm going to say something controversial here. Everyone loves Norm – I was on – our special teams are awesome – everyone loved Norm Parker and Phil Parker, no relation, people that don't follow Iowa football, defensive coordinator, arguably much better. Phil Parker
much,
is arguably the most underpaid guy in football.
Well, it's, you know, it's not just Taylor's punting. I mean, it's the punt coverage too. I mean, between Terry Roberts and Ivory Kelly Martin, those two guys are every damn punt. Those guys are down there covering. I mean, it's unbelievable how good those guys are.
I would point out, Tom,
pick up on something you just said though. I think they do recognize Phil Parker, and I agree with what you said. He is making seven figures. He's just over $1 million. So they're
good for him. You know why? He fucking deserves it. Now he ain't going anywhere. But my scare is the guy deserves USC or the big programs like level. That's my only thing.
He has said before though he does not want a head coaching job. He doesn't want to do all the recruiting and all that stuff. So I get it. So anyway,
what Mike's just saying is true. The motherfuckers, dude, I've been following it, I don't know how long, 30, 40 years. The motherfucker, Phil Parker, is a genius. Oh, my wife's screaming at me for swearing. But the motherfucker's a genius. He's good.
Yeah.
He's very good.
So, okay, guys, we're up against it. So we're going to sign off. But I just wanted to, in closing, that's our college football forum with our crew this week. Let's face it, this is really an Iowa Hawkeye football forum. But I think this is going to be a boring weekend for some. No Ohio State, no Michigan. But by the same token, you know, you still got us in Purdue. I think, there's some good games out there to watch, obviously. But, I think the underlying factor is I think this team, as Tom says, is something. There's something special about it. And I think, we'll see that this weekend. I think we might see an offensive explosion, believe it or not. Other than, as T. Bodie pointed out, our defense maybe do too good a job, so there's not enough yards to gain. You know, we might score because we don't have long fields. So anyway, hey folks, thanks.
Can
for
I say
in.
One thing before I know you got to
no.
go in 30 seconds?
No,
can I
you
say
can't.
One quick thing?
No, you've said enough.
Very
so
quick.
No, you're done. I got to sign off. We got 10 seconds left, so folks, we're gonna sign off. Guys, thanks for being here. We will see you all next week. Thanks for being here, Vito. Thanks, Annie. Talk to y'all later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.